Thanks for listening to Stokely and Zach On Demand. Before Zach tells us who is moonwalking in the Hall of Fame today, have you subscribed to our podcast? Subscribe everywhere you get your podcast or at 1043thefan.com.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents Stokely and Zach.
The Fan's senior Broncos writer, John Clayton from DenverFan.com, writing for the website daily now, and we're thrilled to have him in the fold here at The Fan. I got to tell you, John, first of all, thank you for dropping by the show yet again. I got to tell you, your suggestion about Von Miller's future with the Broncos on your piece that I suggest everyone go read at DenverFan.com, I hadn't quite heard that type of suggestion. Why don't you, for our listeners, go ahead and lay out what you think would be a good gamble for the Broncos.
Yeah, the gamble, I think, would be good just from the standpoint that we just yesterday saw J.J. Watt, presumably, we haven't seen the contract yet, signed for $15.5 million. Okay, there's the $18 million last year option on his contract, but the way it's going to work is that only $7 million of it is guaranteed, and that'll be guaranteed at the end of the month, the beginning of next month, you know, start of the league year. And so my thought would be, it's better to see what he has left, and you can make a decision in training camp. And if it costs you $7 million, it costs you $7 million. You know, they cleared up, you know, more than $25 million with Jarrell Casey being released and A.J. Boye being released. So they're, you know, they've got about $26 million, and they're going to probably come up with some more because I think there'll be some more cap casualties. But I think, you know, Von Miller, because you go back and there's so many things happening with that great class of 2011 first rounders where you have several Hall of Famers, and, you know, Von, you almost look at with 8 Pro Bowls as a Hall of Fame candidate. I think, you know, they owe it to him and they owe it to themselves to give him a chance to see where he is so that he can either eat the $18 million, but if he doesn't, then he walks away with 7.
John Clayton joining us. John, thanks for joining us, buddy. Justin Simmons and his situation, how do you think it plays out? And do you think if Justin Simmons hits the free agent market this year with the cap being down, that he ends up setting the mark for and being the highest paid safety in the league?
No, he won't be the highest paid safety, but I think he can come out with a real good contract. You know, the highest paid safety right now is Buda Baker at $14.75 million. You got Eddie Jackson in Chicago making $14.5. If they can get a deal done in Seattle, Jamal Adams will be the highest paid safety because I think he can get more than 15. Because remember, he set the record for defensive backs with 9.5 sacks. I mean, he was like 8th or 9th in the league as far as sacks. And so he'll get the biggest contract. But I'd have to think, you know, he's a chance to get the $14 million. But what I think from the Broncos' standpoint, you're almost in a better state to give him that second franchise tag because that'll be a little bit over 13. So that means you have Justin for 2 years and you have him for, you know, $25 million. And that's pretty good. But you also have the ability sometime before July 15th, once you get through the cap, to see if you can get him to a long-term deal. So I get the feeling it's going to be the franchise tag because you don't want him on the street. There's a really good class in the draft of safeties. It's also a real good free agency class because you have some real good ones that are going to be up. But he's one of the better ones, and I think they just need to franchise him and keep him there and then wait to see if they can get a long-term deal before July 15th.
The Fan's senior Broncos writer John Clayton joining us live here on Stokely and Zach. Justin Simmons' running mate there in the secondary has been Kareem Jackson, and I think that you could argue in the last 2 years that has been the best positional group on this football team. But a decision has to be made with him too. I mean, he's going to be 33 years old. He's making top 10 money. He's on the last year of the deal. Do you have any guess or hunch what could be next for Kareem Jackson and the Denver Broncos?
Yeah, my feeling is he's going to be a cap casualty. And because I think, you know, what it still comes down to, and this goes back to what we're talking about with Von Miller, I mean, can you keep both at the high numbers? You know, can you keep Von Miller at the 18? Can you keep Kareem Jackson? Because, again, if you're going to be putting one money into one safety in a tight cap, I mean, it's going to be tough and to get the second one in there. So I think he's going to be probably a cap casualty because, in, you know, a lot of work has to be done at the cornerback position because I would think still that first round pick most likely is going to be a cornerback. I don't know if it's going to be Patrick Surtain or it's going to be Caleb Fairley, one of those two. But I think you don't want to have too much of a change in the secondary. But I think, unfortunately, you know, it's one thing if you cut both Miller and Jackson, then it's almost too much money. Because now you're sitting at probably, what, $60 million of cap room. And it's like, do you really want to go that far? So I'd say right now the odds of him, Jackson, staying aren't very good.
Let me ask you one more question.
Let me jump in here real quick, Zach. Sorry about that. Because I know we got to go here shortly. But I want to piggyback that Kareem Jackson question. John, do you think George Payton looks at Kareem and says, you know, he's good friends with Deshaun Watson. Maybe we'll just suck it up this year and just pay him the money, because if we want to have any shot of landing a Deshaun Watson because he has a no trade clause, let's just try to keep, you know, his buddies here. And Kareem's obviously a really good player also.
Yeah, but I don't think, I mean, it's not a buddy. The buddy really comes down to the fact that Nick Caserio, the general manager, is still taking the tack, even though I think there's people in the office arguing with him that, you don't want to, they're not going to trade him. But again, he made it adamant. He went in last week and told the coach that it's like, I don't want to be here. I'm never going to wear a Texans uniform again. I don't know if that's going to change anything, because if you're going to be the Texans, do you wait until August to see if he's going to hold out in camp and then hold out into the season? Because by that time, you're not going to get the right value for him. You also have to take the idea that Denver will be competing against Carolina, because David Tepper, the owner, is so adamant of finding a way to get Houston to pick up the phone and him even outbid the Broncos to try to get Watson. But he's in play, but whether Kareem Jackson's here or not, that's not going to play into whether Watson comes here. Because remember, it's a matter of who can work out the trade with Houston as opposed to where Watson wants to go. He'll want to go to Denver. He'll want to go to Carolina. He wants just to be out of Houston. So either place is fine, but the recruiting part isn't part of it.
And just another follow-up here before we let you go, John. And John Clayton, our Broncos senior writer on DenverFan.com, joining us here. Do you think it's realistic that because both sides are not only dug in, but it comes from a place of, you know, like principle, do you think there's just a scenario where Deshaun Watson literally just sits out the entire 2021 season, foregoes $20 million or so, tolls his future money, and that's how it plays out in 2021?
You have to think something will happen, even if he holds out into the regular season. There's going to be an acknowledgement that's like, okay, let's try to make the trade then, if asked, because, you know, at some point he needs to come back. I mean, it's situation is a little bit dicier than what happened with Dwayne Brown, because Brown did not like ownership, and so he wanted to get out of there, and he held out till mid-season. In fact, he was ironically traded to, I mean, he came out to Seattle, played one game to at least save the season, so his year of eligibility still remained, and then the next week he was actually traded to Seattle. So, I mean, he could take the tack, but I think at the very most he can maybe miss half the $20 million, maybe miss half the season, but at some point he's got to come in and play.
John, great stuff. Love having you drop by the show weekly. Love that you're writing as often as you are on DenverFan.com, and we appreciate you here today. Enjoy the rest of yours.
Okay, thanks.
All right, there he goes. And John's all business. He's just all business, all information. No pleasantries, just gets right to it. I absolutely love it.
But that's business.
I love it. Business. That town business. Yes.
That's Marshawn Lynch, huh?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
He's about that town business.
That town business.
In Seattle.
I love it. I absolutely love it. I love having John here. And
I don't know, though. You know, I disagree with him a little bit on the Von Miller. If you pay him $7 million, you're stuck. You're not going to pay him $7 million and then cut him if he doesn't look like he's, you know, you're committing to him if you do pay him that $7 million to start the, guarantee him that $7 million at the start of the league year.
I'm putting a star next to this. We can circle back to it because I want to spend a little bit more time.
Yeah.
I hadn't heard that suggestion. You don't like it. I don't know if I hate it, but we can go back to it.
We can discuss it and maybe you can change my opinion.
Okay. And maybe you can change mine. That's the beauty of this show.
That's the beauty.
Is the pliability and the flexibility of our mindset.
That's right.
We just want the best idea.
That's right.
Right?
That's it.
Okay.
That's it. We want what's best for the Denver Broncos.
Stoke, ESPN named one daring move for every NFL team. What did they pick for the Broncos? I'll give you a hint. It's got nothing to do with the quarterback position. We'll take a dive into it next.
It's Stokely and Zach on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
ESPN did an exercise where it pointed out one daring move for every NFL team. What did they pick for the Denver Broncos? Going to the break, I said it has nothing to do with quarterback.
I'm putting the clues together now.
You are.
From the start of the show, right?
Yeah.
See, I didn't know that. I wouldn't even mention his name.
Right. Well, that would involve you looking at the rundown before the show.
Yeah, well, sometimes it's better if I don't.
So, sometimes I like that you don't. Right. Because we get to play guessing games and things like that and have fun with it.
That's why I do it, Zach. I mean, I was down here earlier today. I did look at it. I did look at the first segment. So I did see that.
You just wanted to know what we were starting with.
Yep.
You'll figure the rest out.
Yeah. I'll listen to your tease and then we can just roll from there. That's kind of how I like to do the show.
I love it. Well, what we're talking about here, one daring move for every NFL team, ESPN said sign Leonard Williams. That name sounds familiar. Well, you're probably a football fan. But even if you're, kind of casual football fan, you still might remember him from being picked 6 overall coming out of a blue blood school like USC. Picked by the New York Jets. In 2015, he spent his rookie contract there. He ended up with the New York Giants, so just switched locker rooms.
They traded him.
Oh, did they trade him? Okay.
I think the Jets traded him to the Giants. Yes, I'm 99% sure.
Okay. So, Leonard Williams, who is this guy?
You're asking me? Are you gonna say that and tell me?
He's
a disruptive interior pass rusher. He's an athletic defensive lineman that you would put at the defensive end spot. And, automatically you're talking about a young, dynamic, interior defensive lineman that, you hope kind of what you were hoping with Jarrell Casey, right? That you had with a Malik Jackson and a Derek Wolfe, that you get that interior pressure, and now all of a sudden you pair that with a healthy Von Miller and a healthier Bradley Chubb, and now you have the makings of a nice pass rushing unit. And then you look at the other side, Draymond Jones, going into his third year, and really, really expectations to take a huge step forward. So, all of a sudden, you have that front where that could cause offensive coordinators nightmares.
I love it. It's a pretty good breakdown of Leonard Williams.
So any other nuggets there if you have anything else to add to Leonard Williams?
Sure. So just to add some context to what you said, you're absolutely correct. He was traded. Now, his fifth-year option was picked up by the New York Jets. Okay? In 2019... they picked up the option in the spring of 2018. In 2019, he was in fact traded to the New York Giants for a third round pick and a fifth round pick, coming in this year's draft.
Okay.
He is, he was then, oh, by the way, he was then franchise tagged. So he did sign that one, year tender, a year ago, next month. And I want to pull up his stats here.
So he played on the franchise tag this year?
Correct.
Oh, okay. Interesting. I didn't realize that he played on the franchise tag this year.
So he got injured, very early in the season, but he, ended up play, he got injured like in like training camp or something like that. But he ended up playing all 16 games. So if you look at his history, Leonard Williams, he's been available. Mm-hmm. Okay, does not have a real injury history. You're looking at 16 games, 16, 16, 16, 15, and 16. Wow, so he's only missed one game in his career. So he has proved to be durable. He's 26 years old, so you'd like to think that he is, very much in his prime. He is coming off and this sometimes can scare you a little bit.
Right.
He hasn't had some brilliant career, okay? He's played well enough that you did pick up his fifth-year option. He's played well enough that a team would trade a third and a fifth-round pick for him. But it wasn't until this past year, in 2020, that he really began to fulfill the expectation that you had hoped when he was drafted sixth overall. 11.5 sacks in 2020.
Wow.
At that position, right? That's hard to do.
Yes.
But 11.5 sacks at that position in a contract year. I like Leonard Williams, but you want to know who he reminds me of a year ago, Brandon Stokely?
Who he reminds you of? Juwan James?
No. He plays a very similar position. And he was a guy that I wanted the Broncos to pursue last year. And thankfully, I'm not the GM of the Broncos.
The guy that played great in his contract year. I can't think of anybody.
Played for the Buffalo Bills.
And got the defensive lineman.
Yes.
For the Bills.
Jordan Phillips.
There you go.
Jordan Phillips.
Did he sign with the
Oklahoma? You're on it, man. He signed with the Cardinals. Now, he was a disruptive force in 2019. But much like Leonard Williams, up to that point in his career, he was just kind of a guy. You know, wasn't what they, you know, the Miami Dolphins hoped he would be. He goes to Buffalo. He's in a contract year. He puts up 9.5 sacks as a D tackle. All right. And then he signs, for big money with the Arizona Cardinals at 2 sacks. I like the idea, but I'd be lying if they say I'm not, it's a little bit scary if you're going to write this guy a big check. Really based off one awesome season of football.
Yeah, that's what it's going to take. I mean, you look at the size. I mean, he's 6'5", over, you know, right around 300 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, he's got a – he's not just – you're not just bringing him here to sack the quarterback. You're also bringing him here to help, you know, that interior of the defensive line stopping the running game.
Sure.
But also, you know, with those guys, it's not always about the sack. Sometimes you have a year where you're a little bit unlucky, but you're getting pressures on the quarterback.
Sure.
So I'd want to look at the whole body of work before I made a decision on a guy like Leonard Williams, because, look, he's going to have a lot of suitors out there. He's going to get paid a whole lot of money. It wouldn't just be the Broncos, you know, overpaying for him.
Yep.
There's a lot of teams that want a guy like Leonard Williams. So it gets me excited, though, the possibility of putting him on this defensive line. And being able to help out a Draymond Jones and being able to help out Vaughn if he's back, and a Bradley Chubb coming up, those guys coming off the edge. And I mean, that something like that would get me excited if they were able to go out and get one of these top-notch, top-flight free agents at the defensive end position.
It's definitely intriguing. I'm not going to lie to you. It's really intriguing because you could, like, snap your fingers and start painting a picture defensively where you're like, oh, boy, the guy's up front. Draymond Jones takes that, you know, you could go through what you just did, and it's intriguing.
I went through the same dang thing last year. The same dang thing last year with Jarrell Casey.
Right.
I got excited about it, and I was like, oh, Draymond Jones. You know, I was expecting a lot from Draymond Jones last year. And you pair him with Casey coming up the middle, and then we got Vaughn and Chubb off the edge. This is going to be great. And
not so much. Not so much. And Casey, by the way, had the same durability on paper that Leonard Williams has had.
Yeah.
So just something to think about. Just something to think about. All right. Stoke, it is time in what might be our final installment of this offseason game.
Oh, I love this game.
It's season one.
Uh-huh.
Episode 10. What's his future? Alexander Johnson, come on down.
You're listening to Stokely and Zach on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
All right, so we've had fun this offseason playing a little game called What's His Future here. And we've examined guys like Philip Lindsay and Tim Patrick and Melvin Gordon. It's been a fun exercise. And I think today is the last installment of this little off-season game that we'll definitely have to bring back next year. But unless we can identify a guy that we haven't talked about, this is it. So it's been a fun little ride, and I figure since it's the last episode, I'll really sell out here.
Okay. All right.
It is season one, episode 10 of What's His Future? From the stacks of the racks, it's the best on wax. This game has been so boss. Alexander Johnson, come on now.
I love that music, too.
Oh, my goodness. It's perfect. That's John. That's all
That's
John.
Great.
All right.
That's a smile on my face. That voice you do, the music, I love this segment.
At least I'm comfortable enough to embarrass myself. So, Alexander Johnson, Stoke.
Try hard.
Oh, wow. Alexander Johnson. What kind of year did Alexander Johnson have?
Not the same type of year he had the year before. Really, his rookie year, 2019, the guy was special. I mean, he was a top, 50 player in the league?
Yeah, according to Pro Football Focus.
Yeah.
The whole league, yeah.
And I think he started like 12 games or something. He came on late, and you just see the difference with when he was in the lineup. And he was a ball hawk, made big-time plays. He was just everywhere. Didn't quite see the impact that we saw this year from him in 2019. He wasn't awful. I'm not looking at the stats, but I'm assuming he led the team in tackles because he was available. He was out there.
Yep.
He's a tackling machine, but not the same year that he had the previous year.
Agree. It felt like once a Sunday, his first year. Now he got started late start to his career, but it felt like Sunday in and Sunday out, he was either lighting someone up, he was forcing a fumble, he was just making plays, man. It seemed like he was everywhere. He was, like you said, he wasn't bad this past year. He led the Broncos in tackles with 124 tackles, but the impact didn't feel. You didn't feel it. Like, it's the same conversation goes with Kareem Jackson.
Yeah.
Like, literally identical type of conversation there. He is a restricted free agent. He is going to be 30 years old in just his third season. Like I said, late start. But it's worth mentioning that he's, once you hit that benchmark as a professional football player, 30, it's not baseball or even basketball. But he's a restricted free agent. How do you think the Broncos go about this here?
Well, I think you tender him and try to get him back and take another look at him. You're not going to sign him to a long-term contract. No need to do that right now. Just tender him, and you can pay him, $2 to $3 million, whatever that tender is going to be, and tender him at the second-round level. And take another look at him for one more year, see what he looks like. But, I mean, he's going to be 30, like you said, and it's only his third year. So, yeah, that's a little, you're not going to, like I said, you're not going to sign him to a long-term contract.
Right.
You're not going to do that. So let's take another look at him for one more year, see what it looks like. And if he plays really well, then you try to get him under contract for maybe two or three-year contract. If he doesn't play well, then you just turn the page and ready to move on.
It would be a second-round tender, you think? Because you got to take him seriously enough that, you got to make sure the compensation is right so, someone doesn't come in.
Yeah, I think that's probably it because he wasn't drafted, was he?
He was not.
So, he's kind of in Philip Lindsay's situation.
Right,
If you're going to do it, you got to do it at the higher tender so nobody comes in and scoops him up and you get nothing in return. But I would think a guy like Alexander Johnson, you don't want to try to replace – him this year. Now, if you can, great, but you got two spots there, and, Josie Jewell was a pleasant surprise, but he's not special. So you're looking to upgrade that position, but Alexander Johnson's the better of the two. So you take another look at it for one more year for $3 million.
Right.
That's where I'm at with Alexander Johnson. How about you? You feel the same way, or do you want to start over and move on?
No, because you're not – you don't have to do anything drastic here. You just tender them. You tender them, like you said, second round tender. It's not going to break the bank, and you get one more year of examining him, and you see what it looks like, and see if he can stay healthy, and if he plays as good in 2021 as he did in 2019 specifically, but even 2020. Maybe you do a 3-year deal that has a team option for a third year, and lock him up between when he's age 31, 32. And, you know, I don't think that I don't think there's any sort of crazy market for Alexander Johnson, but I also don't want to sleep on what it could be. So, yeah, I think you're on it, man.
Perfect.
You're on it.
Yeah, I expect him back.
Okay. All right. We have still so much to get to. All right, still so much to get to. If we come up with another name, maybe you can look at the roster, Stokes, someone we didn't talk about.
Okay.
We can play one more episode, but that might do it for this offseason. Going back to the quarterback conversation, if the Broncos move forward with Drew Lock, is Alex Smith the right fit to bring to Denver, Colorado? What are Alex Smith's expectations? What should they be? We'll tap into a resource in Washington, D.C. coming up next.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents Stokely and Zach.
If the Denver Broncos move forward with Drew Lock, is Alex Smith the right fit to bring to Denver? And what are his expectations in the first place? Luckily enough, we have a great resource in Washington, D.C. It's Nikki Javala of the Washington Post. I don't know if we've had you on maybe one time since you got the job at the Post. So welcome back to the show, Nikki. How are you?
I'm great. How are you guys?
Man, we're doing awesome. Great. We're doing great. We're thriving here. Great to have you back on here on the Johnson Auto Plaza Hotline. If the Broncos do move forward with Drew Lock, and there is definitely a scenario where that's the case, knowing what you know after covering Alex Smith this past season, do you think it'd be a right fit to bring to Denver?
For a backup role, absolutely. I think he's somebody, you know, you can't recommend enough, especially with what he can do for young quarterbacks. I think that's pretty well documented based on his time with, you know, Colin Kaepernick in San Francisco, Pat Mahomes in Kansas City. You know, even his rapport with the guys here, I think he's, you just can't, it's hard to find another guy like that who can easily mentor other guys, even guys who take his jobs eventually. For a starting role, however, for as much respect as I have for Alex, I do think it became quite clear last year that he just doesn't have the same mobility that even when fully healthy. Now, he dealt with a bone bruise late in the season that forced him to miss more time. But even when fully healthy, you know, given the state of his leg after all the surgeries, he wears a brace to help him overcome drop foot. He just doesn't have that mobility that he once did, before the major injury. So he's kind of become more of, you know, kind of that pocket passer. And from everything I've heard about Shermer, that's not quite, you know, what he is looking for. I just remember him always saying he loves the mobile quarterbacks, the guys that are more dynamic, that can run with ball. And don't get me wrong, he can do that in spurts, but, you know, he's going to be, what, 37 at the start of the next season? He's not the same guy he was, even in his time in San Francisco or in Kansas City. But certainly as a backup, I know he still wants to keep playing. I think he could be an asset to any locker room, really.
Yeah, and Nikki Javala joined us. Thanks again, Nikki. Always good to chat with you. I think Zach and I, when we look at a guy like Alex Smith and we think the Denver Broncos, we think exactly what you're saying. We think come in here, be a mentor, and be the grown-up in the quarterback room. We don't want you to start. We don't want you to play. We want you to help mentor Drew Lock and hopefully another young quarterback also. And I think the Broncos are really missing that type of guy last year for Drew Lock. But you do think that Alex Smith would be a – I mean, you mentioned Colin Kaepernick. You mentioned Patrick Mahomes. Obviously, he knows how to, you know, he's played a long time and he's played at a high level, and he seems like he would be really good at that type of role.
Yeah, I think it's something that just comes naturally to him. I mean, some guys have it, some guys don't. Some guys are just unwilling to do it. I think he's just that guy that gets along well with everybody. I mean, his locker was right next to Chase Young. I mean, Chase Young used to pick his brain all the time. I mean, this is a guy who's, you know, what, 15 years younger, totally different position, totally different upbringing. And they were captains together last year. So that's a biggest asset, I think, of Alex Smith right now, and, you know, not to detract from his ability on the field, but I personally just don't think he's one, mobile enough, or two, you always have to worry about his durability after everything that happened with his leg. You know, to really be a 16-game, 17-game starter in the league. That said, I you know, just learning as much as I did about him last year, he is one of the most competitive people. And he works his butt off more so than, you know, anybody I've met outside of Peyton. So he's going to come in and work, and he could beat out guys for jobs, even in the state he's in. So maybe that's a good thing, you know, maybe that'll kind of, you know, give some other players the nudge they need. But, yeah, I think he's a real asset to the locker room. Beyond that, I mean, that's kind of to be determined, I feel like.
So, and I got to ask you this, because you said, like, hey, I don't know if you want him to come in and actually play, you know, I don't know. But he was like, what was he, 5-1 as a starter? How was he able to pull that off? You know, Washington's not like, doesn't have some like great, you know, offense. At least I don't think. How did he pull off what he pulled off?
Because he knew the system well, and he's a quick decision maker. And those are two things that they were lacking in their other quarterbacks. You know, Kyle Allen had a decent run, but he was out after like 2.5 games because of an injury. But it's mostly from his experience. You know, I think everybody knows the nickname he's received as, you know, Captain Checkdown. So it wasn't like a really flashy offense. There are times where you're like, oh my God, this is so boring.
Yeah.
But he kept it moving, and he was able to extend drives. I think they ranked among the top teams in drives of 10 or more plays. So he was able to, you know, that game manager, he really did manage the game. He managed the clock and kept the offense moving, and he got the young guys involved. I remember a lot of the receivers, actually, and they have a very young receiving core. They would say that the one thing that Alex did that was really great is because he knew the play so well, he knew the offense, he knew the system, he knew everything the defense was throwing at him, he could make it easier on them because it was still a lot to digest. A lot of them were undrafted, new, young. So he made it, he calmed things down for the entire offense. So I think that's kind of another intangible, just kind of based on his experience. You know, he's not doing anything. He's not doing Pat Mahomes like things out there, but he's able to efficiently run the offense when healthy.
And Nikki, last one here. I was really surprised, and my eyebrows got raised when I read the quotes that he gave to GQ Magazine. Talking about Alex Smith here, he gave an interview to GQ Magazine, and you sort of compiled two of the responses and put it on your Twitter account, and it absolutely blew up. And it detailed just how really. Not that they were anti-Alex Smith, but I got to tell you, it almost felt like that reading the quotes. Can you just kind of peel back the curtain for our audience here in Denver on what Alex Smith's year was like when you look at the relationships between he and the new regime?
Yeah, I mean, you know, when he was cleared by his own team of doctors, and this was in late July, this was just before the start of training camp, nobody expected him to really play again. I mean, he had been kind of quietly recovering on his own. Yes, he had that ESPN documentary come out. But we all saw what his leg looked like in that documentary. Nobody, including the team, really expected him to come back. So when he was medically cleared, you know, the team decided to put him on PUP and claim that, you know, he hasn't passed his football physical. There's no such thing as a football physical. Either you're medically cleared or you're not. So that was when my radar went up, like, oh, there seems to be some disagreement here. But there was never anything, you know, outward. You can never sense tension, you know, when they're out on the field. There was never anything like that. So when I read those comments, I mean, I was surprised not because of the content. You know, I kind of assumed there was, you know, maybe a little pushback. They had planned to, you know, move forward with Dwayne Haskins, and they had traded for Kyle Allen, and, you know, they were moving forward with their group, and you know, Kyle and you know, Alex is back. But I was surprised by him actually saying them to the media because he's very calculated. I mean, for our purposes, you know, a lot of times you're like, oh, man, this is kind of a boring quote. Love you, Alex, but it's kind of boring.
Right.
But that's who he is. So it was very surprising to see that he actually said them, not, you know, what was said exactly. But it also wasn't surprising that, you know, it became very clear that they were going to cut him days later. So,
yeah.
And, you know, I think there's a very real possibility that Alex wanted out and he wanted to start fresh elsewhere.
Yeah, that might have been the final push to get it done, those quotes to GU Magazine. Yeah. Wow, that was really something. Hey, Nikki, we really appreciate you stopping by here. We love what you're doing. We're all rooting for you. And you can always pop on with us anytime. So we appreciate you and have a great rest of your day.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
Thanks, right. Nikki.
There she goes, Nikki Javala of the Washington Post on the Johnson Auto Plaza hotline. Yeah, those quotes were something, man. He was like, "It almost, you want to know what it kind of felt like?" Is like he had a couple cocktails over the course of a 2 or 3 day interview. I'm serious. Sometimes those GQ interviews, they take place over dinner, and it's sometimes sometimes you think that you're off the record, you're on the record, you know.
I think he was probably just, that could have happened, obviously. But I also think that, you know, he might have been pissed off a little bit. It was like, take that, you know, and just tell him the truth, right? I mean, why hide it? I mean, he wasn't coming back. His cap number was too high.
Right.
There was no way he was going back. So he knew he wasn't going to be back in Washington. They're looking for another guy. And he delivered for them in a big way. And it came in and saved their butts and made it, it got them into the playoffs because of the way he performed down the stretch. And he's probably a little bit ticked off about how they treated him when he wanted to, you know, get out there and compete. But I understand where they're coming from. Not really understand, but I've seen it. You see those things happen where, you know, you're not their plan. They have Haskins. They have another guy. You're the hurt guy. And all you're going to do is take reps away from their plans.
Right.
They need to see Haskins. They need to see this Allen work in their offense. And you're going to show up? Come on. We don't want you around here. You're old. You're hurt. Go. You know, don't. You're bothering us. That's how the NFL works with guys that are like Alex Smith.
Yeah.
You become a nuisance and a problem.
Right.
So you can show that you can play. Then, they're best friends.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Alex, great job. We knew you could do it, buddy. You're like, no, screw you.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
seriously.
No.
And so that's I like that he came out and put them on blast. Good for him.
I loved it. I really did. I just wasn't expecting an active player to talk like that about the organization that he was still a part of when he said it. So, very, very interesting.
You can do that when you made, what, close to $200 million?
Yeah, he's made so much money.
And you're that old and you've done that much. And
and you just proved everyone wrong.
Proved everyone
wrong.
You're the man.
Yep.
Go ahead.
Yep.
I'm glad he did that.
NFL Comeback Player of the Year. He certainly made himself some history. So we'll see. We'll see what's next for Alex Smith.
Miss any of Stokely and Zach? Make sure to subscribe to our on-demand podcast. You'll get every episode as soon as they're released. Just subscribe wherever you get your podcasts or at 1043thefan.com.